Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
Now, welcome back. We're turning to the continued controversy, speculation, certainly around John Delaney's thus far unexplained €100,000 loan to the FAI in 2017. To bring us through the last couple of days, Dan McDonald of the Irish Independent is with us. Hello.
Hi, Joe. How are things?
Very well. You're going to have to walk us through this. There are more questions than answers thus far. Let's start with a High Court injunction on Saturday night, which failed.
Yeah, I mean, it's as you say, like, more questions than answers is probably a fair way of putting it. I mean, to try and, you know, the way to almost try and approach these things is almost go through, well, what do we know? You know, what we do know is that the Sunday Times ran a story on Sunday that John Delaney had provided the FAI with €100,000 in April of 2017. We know that's true because the FAI actually confirmed that on Saturday evening, having sought an injunction to try and block the story. And they were unsuccessful in terms of preventing that story from being published in the Sunday Times. So the FAI then released a statement to say that John Delaney did give his employer €100,000 in April 2017 to aid them with a short-term cash flow problem. The money was repaid to John Delaney, the FAI said, in June of 2017. And that was that, I suppose, in terms of that particular statement and you know, their explanation of this affair. And then it also included the additional point that John Delaney had also decided to donate his UEFA remuneration from 2018 back to the FAI on a sort of voluntary basis, which was a slightly unusual addition, I guess, to that statement, but it was included in that statement. So we had the confirmation that the story essentially was true, although questions hang around, I suppose, this sort of unusual scenario whereby something like this would happen and what this says about the cash flow. We've been told it was a cash flow problem, but really, you know, we don't know exactly what particular set of circumstances led to that being required.
Staying with what we know, is it unprecedented for John Delaney to give a bridging loan to the FAI? Do we know if he's done this in the past? I certainly don't remember it.
No, I think the FAI statement pretty much, I don't want to misquote it, but this is the only occasion on which I provided the association with a short-term loan. That was a direct quote from John Delaney within the piece. So
this wasn't in the end-of-year audited accounts, was it, this bridging loan?
Well, this is the thing. I mean, we obviously get sent as the delegates get a version of the accounts and you know, journalists get accounts and so on. Now, I'm no accountancy expert here, and I suggest you're probably not either. And it's a difficult one to go into, but I would have thought, and there would be a feeling, you know, John Delaney is a director of the association, you know, in the FAI accounts every year. It lists, you know, there's sort of, you know, director's fees and it includes his salary and so on. And because, you know, he would be a related party, you would have assumed that there would have been some reference to this at some stage. Now, this is one of the questions that will be answered, I guess, in due course. And the FAI say they will take questions on this in due course. It's, well, where was this money in the accounts, I guess? You know, this is a point. Where was it recorded in the accounts? You might get the accounts, but you might necessarily know where to look for everything. But certainly there was no special note, say, you know, in the accounts, which there sometimes is related to certain things. There was no special note to say that this was something that had happened. I mean, this is something that came as news to everyone.
Dan, in relation to the injunction then that was put in place, have we had any sort of statement as to why that injunction was attempted?
No, it's a fair question to ask. You know, in terms, and also I think part of that is, well, was the injunction from the FAI side, from the John Delaney side of things, that left a small bit unclear. We don't know. I mean, I guess, you know, an injunction itself, because they felt that they didn't want, you know, somebody didn't want that story to get to be published in the newspaper. But the decision was made legally that, because I guess the FAI, you know, was, you know, received state funding and so on, and I think I don't want to sort of misquote, but the line was that this, you know, the transactions between the FAI and its CEO were in the public interest to be reported. I don't have that specific quote in front of me, but, you know, that was the decision that was taken, that this was a matter of public interest. And, I guess, you know, the fact that they went down the legal route, it adds to a lot of the debate.
Hugely,
around,
I would
this
say.
Story,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's no small thing to do this. The estimated costs of this failed injunction are €50,000. Ironically enough, so what's that? About half the sum we're talking about in the first place. So it's absolutely not a nothing sum. And as you said, we don't know who's paying that. Is it John Delaney personally?
Is
it the FAI? That is a question here. But if anything, I think it has raised more attention to the nature of this loan and what was going on. If there had been a statement at the end of 2017 to the effect that there was a bridging loan needed and John Delaney took the decision to lend the money, the reaction, I suspect, would have been, this seems unusual, you know, for the CEO to lend the money to the association. But the fact that there was a failed High Court injunction here at considerable expense has led us all to wonder why, as Kevin says, why go to such trouble to try and prevent any aspect of this story getting into the public domain?
Yeah, I think there are valid points to raise, although I think when you step back from it for a second and just look at the optics, the situation here, that, you know, we have an association with a turnover, you know, a turnover of 49 million, 50 million euro per year, depending on 2018, where in 2017, you know, the FAI were talking about how this was the biggest turnover in the association's history, and how an association, I guess, with that type of money going through the accounts, an association that we know, for example, has a quite substantial overdraft facility, and there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that's just a normal, you know, this is something that happens. We see that in the accounts every year, you know, that sometimes the overdraft is X amount, sometimes it's Y, you know, it varies from year to year. So why an association that generates that amount of money or is involved in that amount of money ends up in a scenario where one of its employees has to give it a six-figure dig out? I mean, I guess in no circumstances is that ordinary. You know, it's. I take your point in the sense that maybe if it was mentioned in 2017, it might have diluted the impact to a degree. I still think it would have been a massive thing, because it raises questions about the health of the FAI, which have hung over the FAI over the last decade. I mean, there's a constant battle to repay the debt related to the Viva Stadium. John Delaney, I guess, has been quite bullish about clearing that debt by 2020, and within that sort of that ongoing discussion, I guess, you know, there's a sense that, well, is this affecting the day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month business of the FAI? We've always generally been told that things are okay. There's been an ability to invest and continue to invest in the game. While there have been references to cash flow at various times, we never really were aware of a scenario whereby something like this action could be required.
Yeah.
And that's what leads, you know, that's what leads to so much curiosity and further questions about this. And there have been subsequent FAI statements. They haven't really addressed that basic point to any real, so, you know, satisfactory degree that would reassure you in any way that this is no big deal. I don't think you can say this is no big deal, because it clearly is. That's, I mean, they were in court, as you said.
Yeah.
You know, this is a big deal.
Well, there's been no detail, really. So their third statement, we're quite spoiled here. A third statement, a full review of its executive governance is going to take place, and there'll be a press conference in April, which they assure us is going to clear everything up. Do we know who's going to embark on that full review of FAI governance and who'll be paying them to do so?
Yeah, well, I mean, it has been pointed out, I think, within one of those statements that there's a review of governance that's been ongoing, going back to 2017, and there's been an external element to that, but we don't necessarily have the details of who is carried it out. I mean, you go back in FAI history to external reports. I mean, you can talk about the Genesis report and other external reviews of FAI governance that have happened before. I mean, interestingly, one of the big recommendations of Genesis around that time was that there'd be two members on the FAI board that wouldn't necessarily be drawn from, you know, the football community, two external board members. That actually wasn't applied by the FAI. So, the extent to which this particular review will lead to sort of sweeping changes, I guess there's a matter of debate about that. I mean, we are aware, and without getting wading into this particular topic in great detail, that there are changes ongoing with the makeup and composition of the FEI board due to directives coming from Shane Ross and coming from outside about term limits and the amount of time that people can serve on the board. And the FEI have basically, they're belatedly acting in that regard, having resisted perhaps some of those changes for a period of time. So there was a review of governance ongoing, yet these statements are sort of linking that with this, okay, you know, €100,000 matter. And, you know, I'm not sure if they're two entirely linked issues. I think the 100,000 one on its own is a press conference worthy event rather than anything else to do with general governance.
Yeah. And meanwhile, in the Times Online, Niamh Lyons and Sean McCarthy have a story, which again is not linked specifically to this, but then not completely unlinked either. A whistleblower, they say, has contacted a member of the Oireachtas Committee on Transport, Tourism and Sport with a number of allegations about governance at the FAI. And they say this individual contacted this politician after the revelations of the €100,000 loan. They write, it's understood that the whistleblower is preparing to make a formal complaint to the Office of the Director of Corporate Enforcement. The politician who's received the correspondence is set to seek advice from the clerk of the committee about whether the allegations can be shared with other committee members and if the information can be put to FAI representatives when they give evidence next month. I presume that's to do around privilege and various other legal issues. So that is another, I was going to say, big development in this story, but it's actually a separate development.
Yeah, well, I guess, I mean, this is something that's been going on. And I mentioned those questions about reform and governance and, you know, the makeup of the board and stuff. And, you know, John Delaney and the FBI, and people from the FBI have been due to appear in front of, you know, the Oireachtas Committee on Transport, Tourism and Sport. This has been delayed on a couple of occasions due to clashes with other commitments. And on April the 10th, that is happening. Now, we knew the questions were going to be posed on that day. I think the issue of a salary generally, about, you know, the governance of Irish football, I think maybe some League of Ireland stuff. I think these are questions that we were expecting from the committee. And that development you mentioned there, I guess what we're wondering now is if there is information or questions that is going to be brought to light on that day arising from whatever this sort of whistleblower has reported. And again, yeah, this Oireachtas date, I mean, John Zane has appeared in front of one of those in recent memory, and it wasn't really that noteworthy at all.
It actually was noteworthy for how utterly embarrassing it was.
Yeah, exactly. It was sort of a forelock tugging event. Whereas, yeah, this time you do sense that for whatever reason, whatever way the things are moving, that there does seem to be politicians there now asking questions, and I mean, maybe they're sensing what way things are moving to some degree. I don't know, that's speculating really, but it does appear that in the last couple of years there's suddenly been a bit more of an increased focus on how the FEI do their business. And I mean, I know other associations have been brought in for various chats too as well, and they would make that point. But it does seem that this information and these developments over the past week are sort of making this event a very significant one,
yeah,
because it's clear that changes are coming. And the FDR are certainly going to be asked to implement changes. And so they are interesting times when I guess we've been used to an absence of change at the top of the FEI, where it seems that maybe there's a movement towards it now.
I suppose the pressing question is how much trouble potentially John Delaney or the FEI might be in here. So at the moment, they've clarified the situation to the extent that it seems they're going to clarify it. They're having this review of governance. If we can speculate for a moment, just work with me here. Say it just comes out that there were a few issues, a bridging loan was needed, and even though it's unusual, John Delaney said, well, you know what, I can spare that money. Here's the 100 grand. Pay me back. Done. Grand. The money is paid back. The bridging loan serves its purpose. If that's all there is to this story, he rides that out, doesn't he? That's not a 10-year ending situation, despite it being very unusual.
Yeah, no, I see your point now. I mean, there's no suggestion there's any wrongdoing with this particular, you know, this transaction at all. Nobody can say that. It's just, as you say, there's something curious about the whole thing.
It's not best practice.
No, certainly not. I mean, as I said, with the amount of money that's involved, you know, in the annual sort of annual business of the FAI, it's just a strange turn of events, and it does place the spotlight on a salary and all other issues, long-standing issues that have been bubbling under the surface for a while, and it just brings it all up to the top of the agenda again here. So, I mean, yeah, exactly. You say in terms of trouble, I can see your argument about that. I guess just that really there's been a call for a long time for there to be a serious debate about the direction of Irish football, about the fact that it's been a lot of the same faces making the decisions over a long period of time. And this shines a light on it again, where stuff like this is coming out retrospectively. And again, with all these things, what happens, I mean, there needs to be, you know, you're looking at other people within Irish football to stand up and raise questions too, rather than just waiting on one date and the Dáil to sort of change everything in some shape or form. This is the kind of stuff that should be the catalyst for everyone to be asking questions.
Well, I mean, let's not forget that we're talking about taxpayers' money here as well. You know, is it maybe around 40 million euro over the last decade that has gone into the FAI? So, you know, at best here, there's a lack of transparency. And this is taxpayers' money, and, you know, God knows there's plenty of areas in Irish life that need more taxpayers' money. There's taxpayers' money. There seems to be a lack of transparency. This wouldn't have come out but for the fact that the Sunday Times did a brilliant piece of journalism. And then the guts of another, you know, estimated, I don't have the exact figures, but maybe 50 grand in that region has been spent on a High Court injunction which failed. Like, you know, we're talking about governance. This is not good.
No, and you know, for what purpose, as you say, in terms of, say, spending on legal cases and so on? I mean, it's the kind of thing, is everything okay? You know, this is the kind of questions you have to ask. I mean, there's been separate reporting in the Irish Sun related to the early drawdown of state funding, which in itself, there's nothing wrong with that, but it again just raises questions about the ongoing cash flow situation, the health of the association. We're told everything's in order. Things are going to be debt-free by 2020 and we're fine. And yes, all this other stuff here just lends you to validly question that. And I just don't think the answers we get every year at the AGM are now really satisfactory when you're hearing consistently about things retrospectively that you would have thought would have been quite important to mention at the time. I appreciate, you know, there's an element of, I suppose, pride attached to these things, and you know, you don't want to come out and just, not every businesses everywhere will have problems and won't come out and talk about them all openly. I accept that.
Yeah.
But it's still just, there's something deeply unusual about the whole thing, which it just lends itself to further scrutiny and questioning. There's absolutely no doubt that you can't just gloss this one over and move along and say nothing to see here. I mean, there must be something to see here when something like this happens.
Dan McDonald, Irish Independent. Thanks, Dan.
Thanks, Dad.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.